Track 12 are this week's feature. And this week's feature article comes to us courtesy of the St Albans and District Talking newspaper. In an interview, Jill Burridge, a long-standing producer and editor on Radio 4's Woman's Hour, recalls her friend Jenny Murray, who died earlier this year. The interview covers Jenny's time on Radio 4, and Jill also gives a fascinating insight into the work and planning involved in editing a radio programme that has become a national institution. The piece lasts for about 14 minutes.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Jenny Murray was one of the best recognised voices in radio. She was born in 1950 in Barnsley in Yorkshire, and she went to school there and then to university in Hull. So it must have been a bit of a geographical shock when she went to Bristol to join the BBC through the traditional route, local radio first. She then went to BBC South, where she was newsreader and presenter, then into BBC Television Newsnight, then to Today, BBC radio programme Today, and from there to Woman's Hour, where she took over from Sue McGregor in 1987, and she actually was there for 33 years. My guest, Jill Burridge, actually worked with her. She knew her well, and she also had a career in radio, starting in local radio, and then working up, and she became the editor of Woman's Hour in 2002.
Yes, that's right. I'd been a producer on Woman's Hour, but also on a programme called Treasure Islands, which was about children's books. It was for adults, but it was about children's books, and it was presented by Michael Rosen. I was a freelance at that stage. So I was also doing items for Woman's Hour and came across Jenny in that context. And then when Treasure Islands finished, I did more for Woman's Hour. I've always worked for Woman's Hour. I was a producer on it back in the 70s, actually. After local radio, I went to the Woman's Hour. So I was very well versed in the programme and its agenda and its history, and so was Jenny. So when I became editor, she knew that I recognised the heritage of the programme, which she did too.
What's the hierarchy? Who's in charge?
The editor is in charge and actually is also in charge of the presenter. So you're managing the presenter, managing the powers that be and what they think of it. And you're also managing a team of producers, which, as you can imagine, has diminished over the years with all the cuts that the BBC has had to make. I had a team of about 7 or 8 producers and some assistant producers and broadcast assistants to sort of back you up. Because when you're doing 5 live programmes Monday to Friday, and then the Saturday programme is a best of the week, which has to be recorded on the Friday to go out on the Saturday. We were working against the clock every morning because, you know, we would arrive in shortly after 6 and we were on air at 10. And it was fairly full on because Jenny needed to be briefed on each item. She needed to write her own question line from the notes and the structure that had been provided. And sometimes we pre-recorded items if people couldn't manage to get in live. So we were against the clock. Jenny was demanding, quite rightly. She needed to stick to a time schedule and get through it all and be in the studio ready to go on air by 10 o'clock. So if people weren't up to the mark, she didn't hesitate to tell them. And she had this sort of aura about her. If you were briefing her, you went in and you sat on the chair, but you didn't talk to her. She talked to you and asked you questions, and you let her direct the conversation. Jenny used to present Monday to Thursday in London, and she would then go up to Manchester and she would present Woman's Hour from the regions on a Friday. Sometimes it came from Bristol, in which case Jenny wasn't presenting, and sometimes it came from Dublin, Cardiff. So that was the regional programme. But Jenny did Monday to Thursday with us in London. And the editor is in charge, and it's your vision what goes into the programme. Everybody has to contribute in terms of ideas, and the producers produce. There's a day producer, but they aren't responsible for all the items in the programme. Other producers will produce the items, and they do briefing notes, which go to the presenter. So the night before, Jenny would get all her briefing notes for about 4 or 5 items in the programme. She always used to say that we gave her the wherewithal and she took it to air. That's not to say that she didn't have ideas, as you can imagine. She was a personality in her own right. After every programme, which was always live, afterwards we used to have a meeting, which I called the wash-up, and we'd discuss what went right and what went wrong and what we could have done differently, and Jenny came to that. A lot of ideas came from that meeting. Conversation would get going from that, and very often ideas would come out of what we'd been just chatting about. And then Jenny would contribute. She was very much her own boss when it got to going to air. But there was briefing and guidance and discussion as to direction and tone and that sort of thing. What we tried to do with the programme was put a sort of varied mix of items within. So not all news, not all medical. So we tried variety and texture to the programme. And I often used to think, well, people can wander off if they don't like one item, they're not interested in it, and they can come back and join in again for a change of item, different something. So we used to try very hard to sort of do amusing items that would make people smile or get them really engaged that way. And I remember we did an item, I don't know how it came up, but the discussion was about all female households and how the husbands or the partners survived with all females in the household, with the bathroom episode, you know, when they were banging on the door in the morning, and teenagers are notorious girls for occupying the bathroom for extended periods of time. I think then having ensuite bathrooms was perhaps not de rigueur as it is now. And we got Chris Patton on the programme. So there was no book to publish, but he just was intrigued by it. And he came to join in the discussion on the programme, which was great.
Jenny must have interviewed countless people over 33 years,
yeah,
both famous and unknown and specialists in their area, including politicians from this country, politicians from America, the famous, yeah, interview with Hillary Clinton.
So Hillary Clinton was late, delayed by traffic, so you have to change the running order in that case. We happen to have Shirley Williams live as well. I think that phrase, that word live, is really, yeah, weird, isn't it? But anyway, she was there doing an item about her mother. And we often had her. She was always available, just delightful to have. And she did the interview. And then Hillary Clinton had arrived. And so you have to change guests over as Jenny says goodbye to one and introduces the other. And by mistake, Shirley left her handbag in the studio where she was, you know, to get out quickly. And Hillary Clinton walks in and was sitting in the interviewee's chair, as directed. No speaking, but gestures. And then all of a sudden she picks up this handbag and says to somebody, what should I do with this type thing, you know, miming. And of course, Jenny just loved moments like that. So she took it and said, oh, Hillary Clinton has just arrived in the studio and she's holding up a handbag. I think it's Shirley Williams's, you know. So those are the sort of moments of broadcasting that just make a programme, actually, because they're spontaneous and they're real.
Yes.
Listeners love those.
Jenny was very much involved in some issues about women's health, menopause and HRT, and then she went public when she herself found she had breast cancer.
Yes, yes, and I was editor at that point too. So I was editor with her for 10 of the 33 years. Yes, I remember her ringing me later one afternoon and saying, I've been diagnosed with breast cancer. And of course, things like that have to be handled very carefully. First of all, she wanted to know, could I find out where she should go for treatment? So I put a call through to the major breast cancer charity. I couldn't reveal who it was, but, you know, I'm sure they understood perfectly. Then we had to be quite sensitive to, obviously, what Jenny wanted to do. But right from the start, she was going to make it public, and she duly did. And she went off air and had treatment and then came back more gradually and was very open about the whole experience. And actually, when we came round to Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is sort of October time, Jenny was very up for it. We decided that we would do a whole month of items on the programme, not the whole programmes, but items dotted in every programme throughout the month on different aspects of living with, being diagnosed with breast cancer. And we got a huge response because the audience was incredibly important to Jenny and very loyal to her. So when we used to do live outside broadcasts, which we did on a regular basis, I don't think there's the finance to do them now, but we used to take programmes all over the place and have audiences, and they would love meeting Jenny. All the listeners came, and we always were guaranteed of a very enthusiastic reception. And it was a real delight to meet people and chat to them who were our regular listeners.
She was very concerned that she wanted to use the experience to help others.
Yep, absolutely. Yes. From that point of view, I think Woman's Hour had always had a pioneering sort of aspect. It's difficult to remember, but years ago, you didn't discuss cancer.
You certainly didn't discuss the menopause or anything like
no,
that.
No, no. What I call women's plumbing issues were very much swept under the carpet, and people weren't used to talking about their emotional reactions to experiences of life-threatening diagnoses and the trauma and bereavement. It wasn't something that was public. It was something very private that you didn't talk about. And Woman's Hour had always talked about things that weren't usually talked about on air and been very open. And Jenny championed that too, and particularly with her own breast cancer and her own menopause experience, yes.
And her 33 years would have been a huge transition during that time for the women, how women were perceived in society, because
totally.
You're going back to 87, mm-hmm. going to 2020. I mean, there's such a difference between
yes.
the two. And Jenny bridged that gap, took it through, and was the ideal person in many ways for those sorts of issues.
Yes, yes. And she had been born and bred with Woman's Hour, as I was. We shared that sort of experience. You know, our earliest memories were doing quarter to two with your mum, listen with mother, and then at 2 o'clock, it was Woman's Hour. And I can remember my mother saying to me, "You be quiet now and sit on my lap, and I'm going to listen to my programme. You've had yours." And Jenny had exactly the same experience. And so we both had heard Marjorie Anderson presenting Woman's Hour as children, and we were reared on that sort of, you know, philosophy, basically, yes.
What would you say were the major strengths of Jenny Murray?
I think, I called her the shark, actually, as an interviewer, because if she had a politician or somebody in who she needed to call to account, she was very good at starting very gently with approachable questions that were fairly straightforward. And she would then build up, and like a shark, she would suddenly go in with a question. She was very good at listening. So if people gave her the opening, she'd be right in there with the question absolutely on the nub of it. And she did that with Edwina Curry. She put Edwina Curry on the spot by saying, "And what impact do you think your affair and the way you've written about it will have on John Major's wife, Norma?" And you could hear Edwina just take a breath. And the other thing that Jenny was very good at was being super sensitive with people who found it emotionally very difficult to tell their story, and they weren't used to broadcasting. And Jenny was an enabler as well. Again, she listened really carefully, but she also did it in a logical fashion so that the story unfolded in a way that listeners were caught up with and stayed with the interview. And if something was very moving, we would often get emails or even letters before the days of emails from listeners saying that they had been stopped in their tracks and they had to stop whatever they were doing and they had to listen to the interview. And she was very sensitive like that. She's very good at pacing, and she wasn't afraid of a moment of silence on radio, and she wasn't afraid of people showing their emotion, and she knew how to give them a moment in time so that they could just compose themselves sufficiently to go on. She was a wonderful woman, an icon of broadcasting, and the legend lives on.
Jill, thank you very much.
TNF Soundings.